예, 저는 북한에서 태어나가지고 30년 동안 살다 자유를 찾아서 한국에 온 탈북화가 송벽입니다.
Hello, my name is Song Byuk, and I am a defector that now resides in South Korea. But I was born and I grew up in North Korea for 30 years before escaping to freedom to South Korea.
And would you introduce yourself, Henry?
My name is Henry Song, and I'm a Washington, D.C. Based North Korea human rights activist.
Mr. Song, how long did you work as a propaganda artist?
북한에서는 몇년 동안 그 선전 그리는 그런 방향으로 하셨는지요?
한 7년 남아 그런
In North Korea, I worked as a propaganda
그런 일을
artist
했습니다.
for about 7 years.
In your understanding, how does propaganda art work?
아, 송 선생님께서 이해하시기는 선전 그런 그림 같은 거 어떻게 그 이용이 되는지 어떻게 그 쓰임을 받게 되는지.
우선 북한 그 김일성과 김정일이 체제를 찬양하고 그리고 그 선전 포스터 그림과 선전 문구들을 이제 거리에다가 내다 걸머리내 가지고 주민들에게 김일성과 김정일에 대한 그 충성심을 불러일으키는 그런 일을 했습니다.
And so these propaganda posters and these phrases that go along with these propaganda posters that are posted all over North Korea, these are ones that praise and uplift the Kim Il-sung and Kim Jong-il dictators, and now Kim Jong-un, since he's the leader now. And these the purpose of these propaganda posters is to build up loyalty among the people towards the regime.
How prevalent are they?
이런 그 선전 도구, 이런 선전 포스터나 그런 문구 얼마나 그
in the visual landscape, you know.
많이 그 붙여져 있는지 북한에 얼마나 많이 있는지요.
그 장소에 구애받지 않고 그래서 주민들이 살고 있는데 그리고 공장 기업소 노동자 농민들이 뭐 이제 일하는 일터 그런 데 그래서 집중적으로 설치되고 있다고 봅니다.
So I would say that the North Korean regime places these propaganda posters and phrases and billboards, etc., obviously around where people live, so in city centers where the residents reside in the different cities and provinces throughout North Korea, also in labor sites, in state-operated factories where people are gathered so that as many people as possible would look at these propaganda materials.
So we live in such a commercial society, you know, it's hard to imagine. I mean, are these propaganda posters just mixed in with the advertising on buildings and so on, or do they stand alone?
북한에는 뭐 광고가 있는지 모르겠지만 만약에 있다 하면 이런 그 포스터나 이런 그 문구가 뭐 광고 빌보드 뭐 그런 거 옆에 같이 붙어 있나 아니면 북한에 그런 게 없으니까 그냥 이런 선전 포스터나 그런 건 그냥
광고가 있을 수 없지요.
Well, obviously, in North Korea, there is no commercialism as we understand here in the West. So these posters would be, you know, posted or, by themselves, nothing else around it.
They were seen to be effective.
효과가 있나요, 이런 그 선전 포스터가 북한에서?
효과가 많지요.
Of course, they are effective.
그 일명 이제 1년에 한 번씩 진행하는 뭐 신년사다든가 그리고 태양절 뭐 4월 15일, 2월 16일 뭐 당창군 기념일 뭐 기념일 때마다 이제 선전 문구가 이제 새롭게 나오고 김정일이 말 한마디가 그 신이 말하는 거기 때문에 이것을 이제 문구에다 구호에다 쓰는 거예요. 그래서 아 김 우리 장군님께서 이런 말씀이 계셨구나 해서 주민들이 그 더 충성심을 유발하게끔 아 우리 지도자가 국민을 위해서 이렇게 현지에서 고생하는구나 그런 동정심을 유발시킨다고 봐야 될까? 그렇게 봅니다.
And so yes, they are effective because these posters, especially around the special holidays in North Korea, such as New Year's address or on the birthdays of Kim Il-sung or Kim Jong-il. Kim Il-sung's birthday is April 15th. Kim Jong-il's birthday is celebrated February 16th. Or on the anniversary of the founding of the Workers' Party, etc. The words of Kim Il-sung or Kim Jong-il would be turned into propaganda phrases and added onto these drawings and pictures. And so this would be used to elicit sympathy and also build a loyalty among the people, and it would cause the people to say, wow, our dear general has uttered such a phrase, and we must follow what he said whenever they look at these posters, and it would remind them of their loyalty that they need to show to the regime.
It was quite an honor to be chosen to depict in the image making for this, you know, all the aspirations of the people in power, right? How'd that happen?
그러면은 선생님께서 이런 그 선전 그 그림을 그렸다는 게 큰 영광으로 볼 수가 있네요. 영광이었다는 것으로 볼 수가 있겠네요.
그렇죠. 나름대로 이제 아 우리 수령님과 장군님을 위해서 내가 큰 일을 하고 있겠구나. 더 많은 일을 해야 되지 않을까. 막 밤을 새면서 그림 그리고 그거 쓰거든요.
Of course, I felt a great sense of pride in doing this type of work. I realized that I was drawing propaganda praising the great leader and the dear general Kim Il-sung and Kim Jong-il, and I felt that I needed to work harder. I needed to do more. And I remember many nights that I would draw and paint into the night without sleeping because I felt this sense of duty to be loyal to the leaders and to continue this work.
What a great feeling to be driven by an inner impulse like that, right?
그럼 어떻게 보면 그 당시에는 그런 그 나는 이런 일을 해야 된다라는 그런 그 중요한 그런 그 생각이 있었기 때문에 그걸 가지고 이제 일을 열심히 했다는 것을 보면 큰 자부심을 느꼈다고 할 수 있었겠죠. 그 당시에는.
그렇죠. 어릴 때부터 그 수령님을 모셔서 우리는 제일 행복한 민족이라고 어릴 때부터 교육받고 자랐기 때문에 큰 자부심과 영광으로 생각하는 거죠.
Of course, you're absolutely right because ever since we were kids growing up in North Korea, we were taught that to serve the great leader is the happiest, the greatest thing that we as North Korean citizens could do. So I felt a great sense of pride in doing this work as a propaganda artist for the regime.
Mm-hmm. And you were, do people receive acclaim for this kind of thing? Were you known as a propaganda artist?
북한에서 이런 활동하시면서 그 인민들이나 그 정부에서 그 인정을 받았나 이러한 그 훈련 일을 한다는 것을 성벽이란 이 그 선전 화가를 그린 사람이란
그 인정보다도 아 네가 할 일 한다 네 맡은 바 네 일을 한다 뭐 그렇게 생각하지 훌륭한 사람이다 뭐 일 잘한다 뭐 그걸 그런 건 없어요.
Well, in North Korea, we were not recognized or praised individually for the work that I did. All I got was, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. And that was about the extent of the praise, if you can call it that, that I received from my superiors.
Did he find that there were, what works in propaganda art? What are the rules of it that he finds through his experience?
그럼 그 성 선생님 그 경험을 이제 뒤돌아보시면은 그 선전 그림 그릴 때 어떤 뭐랄까 sorry alarm 어떤 뭐 규정이나 어떤 그 룰이 있으면은 이제 선전 그 그림이 제일 효과적으로 활용될 수 있다고 생각할 수가 있을까요?
그렇다고 봐야죠.
Well, yes, I would answer that question by saying that there are rules that would make the propaganda as effective as possible, and that is to praise the leaders. That's probably the only rule that I can think of that would make it useful.
Right, but I mean, in terms of the image or in terms of colors he used or proportions of the page, I'm thinking about the actual you know, composition or color design, you know, what worked in those terms for the most effective propaganda art?
아, 그러니까 제 질문은 이제 그런 뭐 그 지도자를 찬양하는 그런 규정이라기보다는 뭐 어떤 색깔을 어, 뭐 이용하나 뭐 어떠면은 어, 그 아니면은 그 어떻게 그, 그 만약에 사람의 얼굴이 들어간다면은 그 규모를 어떻게 그 캔버스에 뭐 그림을 그리거나 그런 그 예술적인 그런 것이 제일 효과적이라고 어, 생각합니다.
그게 내가 창작하는 게 아니고 내가 그림을 내 생각대로 그림 그리고 창작하는 게 아니고 중앙에서부터 이제 딱 도안이 내려와요. F형제다가 이렇게 그리라고 인물이면 인물, 구호면 구호, 뭐 깃발이면 깃발, 무슨 색으로 칠해라. 저는 그 도안을 보고 그대로 옮기는 작업하는 거지.
So in North Korea, an artist like myself had no artistic freedom or creativity that I could use to draw whatever I wanted to. For an artist like myself who was active in North Korea, we received our orders from the Workers' Party, and we received guidelines, you know, what to draw, whether it was a flag or whether it was a person's image or whether it was whatever. We were told what to draw, and so I had no creativity in terms of even what color to use or what proportion to use. I drew what I was told to draw.
I see. You know, I'm interested in this because I'm interested in what visually makes propaganda work, because of course we're subject to it all the time here, right? But we don't see it as that. I'm just wondering if there are techniques that, that they use there, imagery, size of lettering, I don't know.
그런 그 중앙에서 내려온 그런 그 규정이 주로 어떤 내용의 그림을 그리라 그렇게 나왔어요.
어떤 규정과 내용이 아니라
예.
당연히 우리는 그렇게 해야 된다고 그 마음가짐으로 받아들이는 거죠. 만약 그 위대한 시인 김일성 동지의 만수무강을 삼가 추근합니다는 그런 글을 쓰는데 거기서 한 글자라도 빠지면은 정치범 숭수 꿀려가는 거예요.
So there was no sense of what was effective visually or what would be the best way to convey a certain image. You have to realize that in North Korea, we did not even have the freedom to question that sort of options in terms of how to draw, what to draw. We were told what to draw, what phrase or what propaganda phrase to put into these drawings. And if we just strayed even a little bit from the instructions, we would be punished by being sent to a political prison camp. So for us, we did not even have the freedom or the, you know, the luxury of thinking about what can work visually or not work. We just drew what we were told to draw.
How many of you were there?
아, 그러면 송 선생님께서 같이 일했던 그 화가들이 몇 명이 있었나요?
나는 혼자. 매 기간 기업소마다 한 사람씩 배정돼 있거든요. 그러니까 내 작업실에 스튜디오에서 내 혼자 작업하는 거죠.
So I worked by myself because each state-operated company or factory had a resident artist, if you can call it that, a painter or an artist that drew you know, for that particular factory or that particular state-owned company. So I worked by myself in my own little studio that was provided for me.
It sounds like a pretty good life.
어떻게 보면 그 송 선생님께서 북한에서 그런 활동하셨을 때는 그, 그 편한, 좋은 삶을 살았다고 말을 할 수가 있을까요, 그러면?
나름대로 내 취미가 그림 그리는 취미이기 때문에 그런 직업을 가지고 있다는 것이 나름대로 나는 행복했다고 말할 수 있죠.
I guess looking back, because I like to draw the fact that I had a job that allowed me to extend my love for drawing and painting these propaganda things. Looking back, I suppose I did have a good life compared to the others.
Mm-hmm. What happened here? Why didn't other people... Let's start here. What happened? What happened first? Did you begin questioning what you were doing?
그럼 그 제 다음 질문은 그 무슨 일이 일어난지 왜 결국은 탈북을 하게 되는지 그 탈북하게 된 계기가 무엇이었는지.
단순히 말하면 배고픔이죠.
Well, simply put, it was because I got hungry. With the deteriorating situation in North Korea, food running out, I became hungry. That was the genesis of my desire to want to escape from North Korea.
Tell me what that was like. You'd wake up. Tell me what a day would have been like in the time when you were hungry.
그러면은 그때 이제 굶주림이 시작했을 때 그 일상생활 어떻게 좀 표현해 주시길 바랍니다. 저희 그 시청자들이 이해할 수 있도록.
그 안 먹어본 게 없어요. 진짜 나무 겉 껍질을 벗겨가지고 그 속살을 또 벗기고 그거를 우려내가지고 그거를 먹게 됐고 그리고 쌀 껍데기 그 겨를 이제 가마에다 닦아가지고 그거를 또 갈아가지고 그거를 또 먹어보게 됐고 쫙 먹을 거 없으면은 이제 바가지에다가 물 한 그릇 타가지고 거기에다가 소금을 섞어요. 그래서 그걸로 또 배고픔을 달랬고 정말 그 배고픔이라는 것은 겪어봐야 알지. 겪어보지 못한 사람들은 모를 거예요 아마.
Well, when things got really bad in North Korea, I would say that there's literally nothing that I did not eat. I, along with many other North Koreans who suffered during that difficult period in North Korea, I ended up, peeling tree bark off the tree and, boiling that and eating that to deal with my hunger, or boiling not the actual grain, but the chaff, the thing that covers the grain. We would, grind that and boil it and try to eat it. And when there was really absolutely nothing else to eat, sometimes we would just put a little bit of salt into water and just drink that and try to deal with the hunger. So in terms of hunger and starvation, unless you actually experienced it, no matter how hard I try to describe it, it's very difficult for someone to try to understand what it feels like to go through hunger and starvation.
Oh, I know. Thank you so much for giving us just a glimpse of how and why your mind changed. Were others feeling the same way? Could you talk to them?
그럼 이런 그 고통을 이제 겪으시면서 송 선생님께서는 주변의 뭐 지인이나 친구들한테도 이런 그 고통을 같이 이제 나누고 같이 이야기를 하고 그런 그 기회가 있었습니까?
당연하죠.
Yes, of course.
같이 굶고 같이 못 먹는데.
Because we were all starving together. We were all deprived of food.
그 90년대 그래도 김정일을 믿고 따랐거든요. 이 독재자는 국민들한테 이제 배급을 주지 않으면서 이 모든 책임을 미국으로 다 돌렸어요. 우리가 이렇게 못 사는 거, 못 먹는 거 미국 때문이다. 허리띠를 조금만 졸라매서 그때 당시 미국을 그렇게 증오하고 싫고 아마 백성들은 아마 그렇게 속고 살았어요.
And so beginning in the 90s when the difficult period of starvation and hunger began in North Korea, even despite the suffering that the people went through, I along with others, we believed and we still held faith in Kim Jong-il because he and the North Korean government, they propagandized the situation by saying that the suffering was the cause of, was because of the United States. And we must tighten our belts a little bit tighter and just weather the difficult period. So I remember actually thinking that this misery was because of not Kim Jong-il and the North Korean government, but because of the Americans. So many North Koreans were fooled by this lie perpetuated by the North Korean government.
You devised a plan to escape?
그럼 어떻게 그 북한을 떠나 이제 탈출할 계획을 이제 준비하시는지요?
Did you think you were really crazy?
그리고 그 선생님께서 그 북한을 탈출하겠다는 생각을 할 할 때 아 나는 미친 짓을 하고 있다라는 생각도 들었는지요?
근데 그 식량을 구하려고 이제 중국으로 넘어가려다 아버지를 잃고 감옥에 들어가서 이제 단련대 그 생활을 강제 노동을 하면서 수많은 사람들을 수많은 사람들하고 같이 겪었거든요. 그 사람들 그 단 그 배고픔밖에 없어요. 먹지 못하니까 중국으로 탈출했다는 게 그게 하나 죄인데 그걸 가지고 탄압하고 사람 죽이는 죽어나가는 것을 보면서 정신이 번쩍 들더라고요. 여기 이 세상은 이게 북한에서는 살지 못하겠다. 내가 이 땅을 탈출하다 죽는 안에서도 꼭 북한을 탈출하다가 떠나야 되겠다는 생각을 그 수용소 생활 때 그때 마음 먹게 된 거죠.
And so my father and I, we decided to not escape from North Korea, but to simply to cross over to China by crossing the river to seek for some food. But in the process of doing that, my father was swept away by the river current and he drowned and I never found his body. And as a result of that, I went to the border guards on the North Korean side and to seek some help. But instead of getting help, I was beaten and arrested and sent to a labor reform prison camp. And here was where I experienced hell, where I had to go through forced labor and seeing so many people just abused and treated like animals. And that's when I realized that why are my fellow North Korean citizens and myself, why are we punished for the simple crime, if you can even call it that, of wanting to go to a neighboring country to find food? And that's when I realized, that's when I basically had a change of heart. And I was, I snapped awake from my, the propaganda that I believed in, so to speak, in that I realized that even if I died trying, I needed to escape from this country of North Korea and find a better life for myself.
I read that that you were released when authorities figured you were as good as dead.
아, 제가 알기로는 이제 그 인도동 단련대 수용소에서 송 선생님은 거의 뭐 죽기 전이어서 이제 그 간부들이 이제 풀렸다는 걸로 알고 있는데 그게 맞나요?
맞아요.
Yes, you are correct. I was released because literally I was on the verge of death.
뭐 다 죽고 가는데 뭐 그 시체 치우기도 귀찮죠, 그게.
And the prison officials probably felt that, you know, I was going to die anyway, and they probably did not want to do the extra work of disposing of my body. So that's what I'm thinking, why they released me ultimately.
Where'd you go?
그럼 이제 그 노동 단련대 수용소에서 풀려나고 나서 어디로 가셨죠?
그 집으로는 못 갔고 그 처참한 그 그 진짜 그 해골만 남은 내 모습을 이제 저희 엄마한테 가서 보여주기 싫었어요. 그래서 찾아간 것이 외삼촌네 집을 찾아간 거지.
I wanted to go home, but I realized that I couldn't show up in my near skeletal state in front of my mother. I did not want to do that. So instead of going back to my house, I went to my uncle's house.
He must have been terrified to see you.
그러게요. 어머님께서 그 당시 그 송순의 모습을 봤으면 이제 깜짝 놀라실 정도 아니라 아주 완전
실신하지.
Yes, she probably would have fainted at the sight of me if she did see me when I was just released from the camp, prison camp.
그때 저희 아버지도 같이 떠났는데 아버지도 시체도 못 건졌지. 아들은 그 감옥에서 고생하다가 해골만 남아가지고 나왔지. 그 진실을 알면 얼마나 가슴 아파겠어요.
And you have to realize that I would have come back to my house without my father. And the fact that, you know, I had to tell my mother about what happened to my dad, I could not bear the thought of doing that. I could not bear the thought of telling my mother the truth.
Oh. When you got out, were the people around you, did they feel as you did, that they also wanted to leave North Korea if they could?
그럼 이제 그 노동 단련대에서 풀려나서 이제 다시 그 사회로 나왔을 때 뭐 그 주변 사람들이나 지인들을 만날 기회가 있었고 만약에 만났으면 그런 사람들도 똑같은 생각을 했나요? 아 나도 이 땅을 떠나야겠다라는 그런
못하지. 북한은 철저한 감시 체계가 있기 때문에 말을 못해요. 동정은 하는데 말은 못하고 그냥 그래서 아 법이 무섭구나 법이 이렇게 강하고 이렇게 무섭구나 저렇게 가다가 잡히면 나도 저렇게 되겠구나 하는 그런 공포심을 심게 되거든요.
Well, you have to realize that North Korea is such a severe surveillance state that even friends, they may sympathize with you, but they can't, they most likely will not utter outwardly their true feelings because they would fear being reported on, even by their friends, to the authorities. So that was the situation once I got out.
그 시대는 진짜 가족들이 다 파탄되고 가족이 파탄되면 어디 가겠어요? 길거리에 벌어지고 욕전 나가서 동냥하다가 굶어 죽은 어린애들 수없이 봤어요.
And so looking back during that period, that was when my family was destroyed by the famine and the starvation. And I saw so many, countless number of people who just died on the streets, especially the young children, the young kids that died from hunger, who were just left, their bodies were just left on the streets.
그 어린애들이 무슨 잘못이 있어요, 그게?
You know, what sin did those kids commit? You know, what did they do to deserve that sort of death?
그리고 이제 너무 배가 고파가지고 국가 재산에다가 이제 도둑질을 하면은 바로 청찰했어요. 한 달에 두세 번 했어요. 광장에서 사람들 시민들 쫙 모여놓고.
And during that period was when the North Korean government carried out public executions of people arrested for stealing state property. This can be farm animal or, you know, state-owned grain or other types of food. And once or twice a month, looking back now, I recall, they would gather people in the public square and hold a mock trial and just end up executing these people.
그 국민들한테 또 속이는 것은 자기도 풀죽을 먹으면서 이 난간을 타게 나간다고 선전했거든요.
And another way the regime propagandized the situation was that Kim Jong-il himself was eating grass and working and doing his best to bring the people out of this situation, this difficult situation.
한국 와서 그 독재자 김정일이가 호화스러운 생활하고 백성이 굶어서 죽어나가는데 이놈은 제 애비 주석궁 짓느라고 그 돈 처였고 그 진실을 알게 될 때 너무나도 충격 먹었어요 저는.
And of course, I found out the truth of all this when I escaped North Korea and resettled in South Korea and learned the true history of what then leader Kim Jong-il had done while his people were suffering, spending lavishly on himself, building palaces in memory of his late father, Kim Il-sung, the founder of the country. And all these things I found out once I got to South Korea, and I realized how fooled I had been in North Korea by the regime.
이 세상에는 이 지구라는 행성에 북한 같은 나라가 없어요. 아무리 그 지금 아프리카 뭐 사는 나라도 그 흉년이 들어서 뭐 먹지 못해도 말할 수 있는 자유. 이동할 수 있는 자유가 있어요.
And so I would say that on this planet, Earth, there is perhaps no other nation like North Korea. Even in some of the poorest countries, third world countries here on this planet, they may have difficulty in terms of food or dealing with hunger. But to a certain extent, even people living in those countries, they have the freedom of movement, freedom of expression. They don't have that type of persecution and the control over the people like the North Korean government does over its own people.
네, 그래서 저는 이제 북한의 실상을 너무나도 내가 잘 알고 또 그 체제에서 살아왔기 때문에 이런 전시회도 진행하면서 또 미국의 여러 대학에서 이제 강의도 하면서 이런 독재 국가가 있다 이 세계에 이 세상에 그것을 부단히 활동하면서 알리는 거예요.
And that is why, as somebody who knows so well about the true nature of the North Korean regime, as somebody who lived and suffered in that country, that is why I'm here in Hawaii having this talk, the conference, and holding an exhibition, and visiting the mainland many times and speaking at various colleges to tell whoever would listen to me that right now in North Korea, this dictatorship exists. This type of country exists in this world, and I'm trying to tell as many people as possible what North Korea is all about.
음, how do you feel about current overtures between the United States and North Korea?
그럼 선생님께서는 지금 현재 그 미국 정부와 그 북한 정부의 그 뭐라고 그럴까 그 평화 협상이나 뭐 그런 그 이제 대화를 나눈 그런 활동 많이 볼 수 있는데 그거에 대해서 어떻게 생각하시는지요?
잘못했다고요. 잘못했어요.
I believe it is wrong.
트럼프가 잘못해요.
I believe Trump is doing the wrong thing right now.
독재자하고는 타협을 하면 안 되거든요.
You cannot negotiate with the dictator.
그 3대 세습에 올라간 김정은이하고 무슨 평화협정 행리스트 그 논의하기 전에 이라크의 사담 후세인처럼 끌어내야 돼요.
So Kim Jong-un, he's the third generation hereditary successor, now the dictator of North Korea. And you cannot reason with somebody who's been put into that place as a dictator. You can't talk about peace or talk about reducing nuclear weapons with a dictator like that. I think similar to what happened to Saddam Hussein of Iraq, Kim Jong-un must be removed from power from the North Korean government.
Do you think that he would ever be voted out? I mean, how would the North Korean people feel about a move like that?
그럼 그 북한에서는 뭐 선거를 통해서 당연히 김정은 같은 지도자를 그 없앨 수는 없겠죠. 그러면은 어떻게 그 김정은이 그 더 이상 지도자가 되지 될 수 없게 할 수 있을까요? 그리고 북한 주민들은 그거에 대해서 어떤 생각을 할 수 의견을 가지고 있을까요?
북한에 들어가는 모든 전자 제품, TV, 라디오, 오디오 다 이거 땜때거든요. 세계에서 일어나고 있는 일에 대해서 알지 못하게 하는 거예요. 인터넷도 없어요, 그게는.
So you have to realize that North Korea is a country without the internet and all TV sets and radios and electronic equipment, they're soldered or they are set to only receive or to only view the state-operated radio station or TV station.
그래서 북한에다가 이제 북한 국민들한테 삐라라든가 그 뭐 오디오다든가 뭐 이런 거를 이제 무상히 보내가지고 북한 사람들이 의식 수준을 이제 변화시키고 또 이 미국과 같이 이제 강대국들이 압력을 행사해서 그 김정은이 하나만 최고 했었으면 그 이상도 바라보는 것 같아요.
And so in order to reach the North Korean people by circumventing the North Korean government's control over its people, many activists and NGOs are sending leaflets, USBs filled with outside content in an effort to try to change the mindset of the North Korean people, especially towards their leaders. So in addition to this, I think the continuing pressure from the United States and other Western nations to punish Kim Jong-un economically, I think that needs to be strengthened and increased and continued so that Kim Jong-un would somehow no longer be in power.
You're talking about the kinds of sanctions that really do take the toll on the population, right? And so you'd be hoping that they would suffer so much that they might revolt?
어떤 사람들은 그 이런 경제 제재가 그 이제 북한의 지도자보다 그 인민들이 더 그 고통을 당하고 있다 그런 말을 하고 있는 사람들이 있는데 그럼 이런 경제 제재가 그 강화돼서 인민들이 더 고통을 받게 되면은 고통을 더 받음으로써 이제 그 지도자의 불만이나 그런 그 항의가 더 높아진다고 말할 수가 있겠죠. 그런 의미로 지금 말씀하신 것 같습니다. 선생님께서는 그러면
북한은 90년대부터 고통을 받으면서 살았어요. 그 제재를 푼다 해서 북한 국민들한테 유복한 생활이 차려지잖아요.
So what I would like to say regarding that is that basically, North Korean people, North Korea, they have suffered beginning from the 90s. And just because the sanctions are relaxed doesn't mean that the overnight or suddenly the people are going to start living a better life. That's not going to happen.
더 많이 제재를 가해가지고 김정은이가 백기를 들고 나오게끔 만들어야 되거든요.
Ultimately, what I would like to see is the economic sanctions increase to a point where there will be no choice but for Kim Jong-un to wave the white flag of surrender.
그 제재 풀고 뭐 다 하면은 뭐 미사일 생산하고 자기 군부대한테 자기 이제 따르는 사람한테만 베풀어주고 일반 백성들은 뭐 뭐 바라지도 않아요 그거.
Kim Jong-un is somebody who will only reward and enrich his followers, his elites, if the sanctions are released. He's not going to do anything about the people that are actually suffering, regardless of the sanctions being enforced or not. He will continue his missile and rocket testing. Just yesterday, it was reported that he tested some missile test. And so just because you're going to relax the sanctions effort does not mean that it will translate into better life for the average people in North Korea.
Mm. 지금 제재를 가해가지고 그래서 지금 세계적으로 러시아나 중국이나 뭐 이런데 북한 노동자들을 이제 파견해가지고 건설 현장에 투입시키는데 이 사람들이 일한 만큼 돈을 버는데 그 북한 김정은이 다 가져가요. 본인한테 10%가 차려지면 잘 차려지는 거고 이런 것도 강력하게 제재해서 다 내보내야 된다고 저는 생각 들어요.
And one way that the regime, Kim Jong-un, has tried to offset the damage done by the sanctions is to continue to send out more overseas workers from North Korea to countries like mainly to Russia and to China. And what's bad about this situation is that the workers, they work long hours, and instead of getting paid for the work that they did, you know, almost all of it is just taken in by the regime. And so this is one way that Kim Jong-un is making money off of his own people. So this type of activity must be stopped also, how the regime is collecting money from its overseas workers.
Hmm, I had not been aware of that. Just two other questions. I guess one about your life here. are you an artist now? Are you a Western artist now? Will you begin selling work? And
두 가지 질문만 더 하고 이제 마치겠습니다만 지금 그러면 이제 자유 세계 사시는 송 선생님께서는 지금 구체적으로 어떤 이제 작품들을 그리시는 뭐 서양화가 아니면 뭐 어떤 그림을 그리시고 뭐 지금은 그 뭐 풀타임으로 이제 그 화가 활동하시는지요 이제
저는 뭐 캠퍼스든 뭐 스케치북이든 재료만 주어지면 닥치는 대로 다 하거든요 다 하는데 저는 이 작품을 하고 전시할 때마다 항상 사명감을 가지고 해요 저의 작품을 바라보며 세계인들이 그 독재자 김정은 밑에서 2,500만 국민들이 노예 생활을 하고 있다는 것을 가슴속에 담았으면 좋겠어요. 저는 그런 사명감을 가지고 더 많이 전시하려고 이렇게 라디오 출연해서 더 많이 알려주려고 하고 북한 국민들도 자기의 존엄성에 대해서 김정은이는 신이 아니고 그 인간이기 때문에 자기의 존엄성을 되찾고 인간답게 살기를 저는 바랄 뿐이고 또 거기에 또 세계들이 많이 호응해 주기를 바라는 바 다른 그 뜻 하나예요.
So I live my life as an artist. With a calling because I believe I have a special responsibility as somebody from North Korea to do this work. And whether it's a canvas or sketchbook, whatever material is given to me, I'll work with that to draw whatever I can. And whenever I have these exhibitions or when I speak at conferences or give my testimony, I want to remind people that even right now under Kim Jong-un, there are 25 million people in North Korea who are living basically like slaves in the country. And that the more I talk and the more I expose the regime, I want to give the dignity back to the North Korean people and for them to realize that Kim Jong-un is not God, that he's just a human being. And so that is the message that I want to share every time I have these exhibitions and whenever I speak about my experience.
Hmm. you're here kind of in our Western American world now, and your mind, being inside your mind, might feel a little different than it used to. Help us to feel what it felt like to accept all the propaganda that you were disseminating. What did that feel like? Maybe it didn't feel constricting at all.
마지막 질문은 이제 그 작가 그 송승희께서는 이제 자유 세계에 나와서 생활을 하시는데 이제 이런 자유 세계에 나오면서 북한에서 그 믿었던 그런 그 선전이나 그런 거를 이제 받아들여야 되겠죠. 되겠겠죠. 이제 북한에 나오면서 근데 그런 그 변화가 어떤 그 경험을 겪게 됐는지 그런 삶, 이 환경이 바뀌어지면서
제일 소중한 거고 제일 진짜 가슴에 와닿은 것은 배부름의 자유 그리고 24시간 정전이 안 된 밝은 모습 그리고 수도를 틀면은 따가운 물, 찬물 야, 그 소중함이라는 건 이제 말할 수 없어요.
Well, for me, the best way to answer that question would be that once I came out of North Korea and resettled into a life of freedom in the West, in South Korea, for me, what I realized was that what is most precious were the simple things, the freedom to be full after eating a meal, the freedom to enjoy 24 hours of electricity without any blackouts, the freedom to turn on the faucet and to get instant hot water or cold water. The simple things, such as those things, was what I felt was the most precious in terms of experiencing a new life outside of North Korea.
People 매 끼니 때마다 자기의 입맛을 찾아가면서 무엇을 먹을까 그런 행복한 고민을 하는데. 북한 일반 국민들은 한 끼를 때우면 다음 한 끼를 어떻게 먹을까? 이런 삶을 진짜 이런 절박함을 안고 살아가고 있거든요.
And so people living in freedom, we have the freedom to have this happy stress if you will of wondering what we're going to eat next and we could find and eat whatever food that would suit our desire at that moment or to suit our taste buds for that particular meal or for that moment. But in North Korea, at least when I was there, if we took care of one meal, we had to worry about how and where we're going to get the next meal. And people can't understand that sort of desperation and that sort of, desperate lives that we had to lead in North Korea.
You're right. It's so hard for us to know.
Mm. 예, 맞습니다. 저희들은 이야기가 너무 부족하죠. 그런 그 절박한 상황을.
저는 오늘 아침에 이 하와이 방송국에 인터뷰를 온다길래 좀 부탁하고 싶은 거가 있었어요.
And so this morning when I woke up, when I realized that before coming to Hawaii, of course, that I was going to be interviewed at the Hawaii Public Radio, I had a special request that I wanted to convey to the listeners of this radio station.
그 북한이라는 그 나라에 살고 있는 그 2,500만 국민들은 정말 가장 기초적인 자유가 언론과 종교, 예술, 그 모든 자유를 박탈당한 채 살아갔거든요. TV나 뉴스, 신문이나 보고 아 그렇게 살고 있는 사람들이 있구나 이렇게만 생각하지 마시고 그 사람들이 그 절박함을 외면하지 말고 인류의 마음으로 한 발짝 더 다가갔으면 하는 바람으로 이 하와이 시민들한테 부탁드리고 싶습니다. 이 방송을 통해서.
And I hope through this interview, when is aired, that the listeners listening to this will realize that even right now in North Korea, the 25 million people, the citizens living in that country, they're still living in a society where they have no freedom of the press, freedom of religion, freedom of the arts, etc. And basically every freedom that we take for granted here in freedom, the North Korean people do not enjoy. So I hope the listeners will not just stop at realizing, oh, that's how North Korean people are suffering or living in that country, but to go beyond that and to continue having an interest and to not ignore the situation in North Korea and take the next step of learning more about the situation and really understanding and having compassion for the human rights situation in North Korea.
I just think people are... Thank you so much for that.
대단히 감사합니다.
제가 감사합니다.
Thank you. I really thank you for having me here at the radio station and allowing me to speak and to be interviewed by you. So thank you.